Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Oh, I've got a horrible story. Made me so angry all yesterday afternoon, evening, and into the sleeping time.
Oh.
So I went to get my bins from the gutter.
Yeah.
And someone had put their huge, dirty, stinking bag of rubbish after the bins had been collected into my yellow bin, which is bottles.
Oh.
I'm like, thanks. So my choice now is to either take it out of my bottle bin and throw it on the nature strip, which you're not allowed to do.
Yeah.
Or I have to take it back to my place, put it in my rubbish bin for the next week so it can stink it out. Thanks, neighbours. Isn't that nice?
You've never lived in strata, have you?
I am now doing some sort of investigation where I'm going to find out who they are and then just be really passive aggressive to them.
Are you going to take it to a current affair?
Yeah, I might as well. Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 66.
Fitting that you should be angry about rubbish in a bin when we're getting old like that.
Why shaking my fists at the youth of today who don't know? I reckon what it was there was someone next to someone's red bin next to mine that had been emptied, and I think someone had put it in theirs, and they're like, "How dare it!" And they threw it in my yellow bin as if that made them feel better. I'm sure it did, but now I've got an enemy for life. Hey, we've got quite a lot to talk about today, as we always do, I guess. Quiz is fun.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily movie or TV related.
Hmm.
In fact, I can't even remember how I got there, but I did.
All right.
I'm going to play it. I got quite a few news stories as well, watched a bit, and The Walking Dead, we all stick behind the spoiler section.
Nice.
Bit of a rundown.
Yeah.
How about you, news-wise? What caught your attention first off?
Look, there's a couple of news stories, a few trailers that I checked out and stuff. I'm very excited because they announced that Kung Fu Hustle 2 is in production at the moment.
If anything, the name alone tells me it's going to be amazing.
Well, have you ever seen Kung Fu Hustle?
No.
It's fantastic. This one director who did Kung Fu Hustle, he did Shaolin Soccer. It's a Chinese director, and he just does these really over-the-top, like Looney Tunes infused type action.
Is this before or after Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
I want to say around about the same time. Okay. Kung Fu Hustle was probably a few years after, but Shaolin Soccer was about the same time.
Gotcha.
But if they're doing the really, like, if Crouching Tiger is the really serious, beautiful, artsy take on it, this is legit Bugs Bunny. So people's eyes bulge out or their arms go long. People get squashed into pancakes and bounce back up. All this sort of stuff.
It sounds fun.
It's great fun. And
is it good for kids? It sounds like it's kid-worthy, or is it a bit violent?
It's not violent in terms of blood and guts. So, yeah, Shaolin Soccer would be great for a kid. That's about a bunch of monks who have to come together and play in a soccer league to save a town.
Yeah.
Or save the monastery or something. It's really weird. The Kung Fu Hustle would be more than 15 years now, so they're making another one. It's fantastic. I'm really excited.
Is it the kind of sequel that you heard the news and went, wow, really? I thought that was just a movie in itself.
No, I heard it and I was just like, cool, bring it on. The story doesn't really matter. It's not like that sort of thing.
So it's definitely from China. It's not. There's no sort of American, Western influence in there.
There is a lot in this in the style of things, but it is, I don't know, it's so difficult to explain. There's really nothing else like it.
I've got to watch the trailer.
So check out the trailer for Kung Fu Hustle, the first one. Some fantastic characters through there and stuff. Gangster dancing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
The show with a car that time travels at 88, but blows up if it drops below 50. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I guess we could probably get the bad news over and done with sort of in the earlier part of the news section, except it's not really, it's like bad news but not a surprise that The Punisher and Jessica Jones are leaving Netflix.
What?
I know. Shocking, right?
Yeah.
It still, I think, has upset quite a few people, particularly big fans of both series.
I did not sign up for Netflix until Daredevil.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of people going like, I'm considering quitting my Netflix subscription.
Fair enough.
There are other people that are like, that's a stupid, how could you say something like that? Well, legitimately, a lot of people signed up because of this Marvel deal.
So would those people be now waiting, hanging out for Disney?
Yeah, I think so. Marvel, they're going to have some great shows on there and stuff. There's been a lot of talk. I know we've talked before about the Loki series. The showrunner now is going to be one of the guys who is from Rick and Morty. It's meant to be like a reverse quantum leap. So we're checking in on Loki in different points in history of him meddling instead of trying to fix things.
It sounds like such a Loki thing to do.
Yeah.
So with these series, not just Jessica Jones and The Punisher, we're talking about Daredevil, Iron Fist. What was he? There's another
Luke Cage and Defenders.
Yeah. So with those guys, all those series, could we see potentially a Brooklyn Nine-Nine happening where it just sort of ends up getting picked up, same cast, potentially same crew? Or is it just too complicated? Do you think it's too much intertwined with Netflix?
I think it's more the reality of that situation is impossible because all the actors have been released to new projects.
Okay.
So they've all got to go and get work elsewhere. Same thing with the crew. A lot of the crew would have been let go a lot earlier and they've all moved on to other projects. So the chances of everything coming back exactly as it was are next to him. It's infinitesimal.
And what about the potential of these series just going missing forever?
Well, they'll be on Netflix still. They just won't be new episodes or anything like that. But the characters are still owned by Marvel. So they'll be, you know, they can revive them as they see fit. I think there's some sort of 2-year exclusivity after the series ends. There's a lot of this stuff hasn't been publicly shared, so we don't know how long it is until they can start using them. Maybe they can use them on film and not TV, that sort of thing. I'm not sure.
It would just be interesting to see if, for example, after 2 years, Netflix still has it on this, all of the series on their streaming sites, and then they just get taken down and never seen again.
Well, I don't think it would be that. Netflix have said that they are going to keep the episodes on there for as long as they're allowed to.
Okay.
There may be something where Disney then, you know, the rights revert to them. Maybe Disney will pay Netflix in order to have them on their network and stuff, but I don't think they'll just disappear, no.
Well, that's good news for fans.
Yes.
They're not going to say goodbye forever. What else did you see in the news that was pretty cool? Not that was cool, but, you know.
So something that has nothing to do at this stage with film or TV but should get listeners of our podcast quite excited. There's a new comic series coming. And it's from an Australian guy named Tom Taylor, who is by far the biggest name in comic writing in Australia. And he writes for both Marvel and DC and his own stuff. He has a TV show. Animated show from a series that he wrote a long time ago.
Busy bloke.
Very, very busy. But he is best known probably for writing this fantastic series called Injustice for DC. Now, you probably know the Injustice video games made by the people that make Mortal Kombat, and it's the fighting games. So he wrote the adaptation of that, the comic adaptation. And normally those things are crap. Comic adaptation for a film and this sort of
stuff. Which came first, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in this story, the Joker kills Lois Lane. Superman snaps and kills the Joker.
Ooh.
And decides to turn the world into like a fascist totalitarian state. And Batman is fighting against him. And the heroes all divide and villains become good, this sort of stuff. So there have been two games of that. But he wrote the series for 5 years. And it should not have been as quality as it was, but it was fantastic. And people really respect him for doing that, of working in a bubble. And he killed everyone. It's not. There's no happy ending for anyone in this. So Tom Taylor's been busy writing some Spider-Man at the moment and stuff, but he's been teasing this thing since before Christmas, and it finally got a title the other day.
You've been keeping an eye on it, haven't you?
I really have. Yeah. It's called Deceased.
East. Okay.
Zombies are coming to the DC universe.
Yes.
And it's all about, can Batman, who is prepared for anything, can he deal with this? And from the images I'm seeing, no, he cannot.
Wow.
Rage zombies. So you get inflicted, it looks like you get infected with some sort of virus through a touch screen or through a phone, and it makes you try and claw out your own eyes, covered in scratches, and
a bit
then
Black
become,
Mirror-ish.
Yes, then become a rage zombie.
Okay, so some people, I think, if they had heard that it was just going to be zombies, like, a couple of years too late. But that there are a couple of interesting little tweaks and twists on the premise that makes it interesting.
Very much so. So Marvel, 15 years ago or even more than that, when Walking Dead was just getting big, they got Robert Kirkman to write Marvel Zombies and a series of zombies. But they weren't fast zombies. They were zombies like the zombie virus only infected superheroes and supervillains. So they killed all of humanity quickly and then turned on each other.
I say that's bloody dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where this one, I'm sure, it's definitely going to affect superpowered people, but it's also going to affect normal people. So this is everyone turning. It could potentially be a lot more World War Z swarms.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I still remember the World War Z trailer where they had the horde, the swarm trying to climb up over the
wall.
Amazing.
So this is kicking off early May, maybe even May 1st, somewhere around there, which is very close to Free Comic Book Day.
Ah.
I don't think it's tied into Free Comic Book Day this year, but it means that if you go out for Free Comic Book Day, which is the first Saturday of May, you'll be able to pick up a copy of issue one.
Grab the hype.
Huge name artists working on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Deceased.
Such a good name.
Yes.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is. The murderer. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Speaking of good things, this is not. It's looking like Justin and Haley Bieber.
Drop the Mic fame. Yeah, she's the, with Method Man, she's the colour commentator on Drop the Mic, where celebrities come and rap. She's not great. She's fine.
Is she there because she's a Baldwin and a Bieber now?
Well, it was funny. Season one, It was all, hi, I'm Hailey Baldwin. And then season two, you can tell when she's gotten married because suddenly it's, hi, I'm Hailey Bieber.
Well, they're going to do a reality show.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. According to an article from MTV, they're in the very early stages of developing the show about their new life together. A spy says Justin's super excited for his fans to get to know his beautiful wife better through the process. If there's one thing that people, celebrities, heartthrobs like Justin Bieber, who has a throng of young female fans, they just need to know that the fans do not care about Hailey at all.
In fact, one bit.
They wish she didn't exist.
Exactly, because it ruins the illusion.
So basically, this is the 2019 version of, remember the show Newlyweds with
Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey?
Yeah, so it's pretty much sounding like it's going to be a lot like that. Whether Hailey or Justin have the ditzy persona that Jessica Simpson had, I don't know. I don't think so. But we'll see how it goes. There'll definitely be people watching for Justin Bieber, but whether it lasts, because that's not the Justin Bieber that they want to see.
Never say never. Sorry.
Very good.
Thank you. A few returning things. We've got Queer Eye Season 3 dropping March 15th, just after my birthday.
That's going to be huge. That's a birthday present just for you. Nice feel-good one.
No, that's for Lynn's. That's for the missus. That birthday
she loves
present
it.
Is I get a bit of quiet time.
Brilliant.
Yeah, she goes and has a bit of a cry.
But a feel-good cry.
A feel-good cry. And then I saw some great trailers. Have you got any more news? I saw some great trailers.
I got a couple of...
Oh, fire away. You brought
right.
more news.
All right, I got two more news.
I've been busy watching.
Oh, see, I've been busy newsing. So the Dune remake. We've been talking about that, the casting
sexy,
and everything.
Sexy cast.
Jason Momoa.
Oh.
Duncan Idaho. He's perfect for it. This is a huge cast now, and production is expected to begin in Budapest and Jordan in the next couple of months, sort of springtime Northern Hemisphere. I reckon with the cast like this, because don't forget it's got people like...
Josh Brolin.
Who I didn't know was in it.
Yeah.
That was a newer development.
Sure, that was a day or two ago.
Yeah, and then they said Jason Momoa was potentially on board as well. I thought, hello.
Oscar Isaac, is he in the mix?
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I mean, I knew people like Timothy, how do you pronounce his name?
Chalamet.
And Rebecca Ferguson's there. Dave Bautista, he's there. It's looking good. And finally, this story is what the quiz is slightly related to. France has recognised lightsabering dueling as an official competitive sport.
Good.
I love it.
If people can get laughing recognised, why can't you have lightsabering?
So I think we're going to have to get an Australian team ready for whichever Olympics it's going to be in.
Well, I think we should both take a moment right now and throw a forced lightning bolt. Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt!
That was almost Street Fighter-ish.
Hadouken!
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So that's all the news I've got. What about trailers? You've been busy.
I've been busy. There's been some good stuff. So I don't know if you saw, but a little thing called Frozen 2 dropped their trailer.
Pretty good.
Most viewed animated trailer in history.
Did show that there's different music. I mean, of course there's going to be, but there's different music there. And also different environments.
Yes, and it gave away absolutely nothing. There was, you know, there's no way to work out any of the plot.
No plot. You just know who's there.
People are trying to put some clues together. There appears to be someone that maybe has the powers of autumn or something along those lines. So whether it's going to be just learning to deal with autumn or whether we're going to learn that there's people representing all of the seasons.
We start to open up the world.
Yep.
Frozen, falling, hot stuff, growing flowers.
Done it.
That's the new movies.
Love it. Love it. So that's November this year. God, Disney's got a lot.
It's really soon. It is actually. I mean, I know it feels like a long time away, but you remember every single year, suddenly September's upon us.
Yeah. So that will dominate November, and then Star Wars 9 will dominate December, and then Endgame will dominate late April, but early May. They can have a big year.
It's crazy how much there is happening all in one chunk.
Oh, we didn't even mention Toy Story 2.
No.
Oh, sorry, four. Toy Story 4.
Yep.
Double the fun of what I thought. Yeah. So that's looking good. Did you see the trailer for Yesterday?
No. Can you tell me about this one?
Okay. So I think it's written by Richard Curtis and directed by Danny Boyle. And it's about a guy in England who wakes up one day. And it's kind of sci-fi because no one knows who the Beatles are. No one remembers the Beatles.
How's that a thing?
He jokingly just like fobs off one of the songs as one of his to a friend, and they all sit there like, that's the best thing ever. And he becomes the world's biggest musician, claiming the Beatles stuff as his own.
I used to think about that. I used to think about if I went back in time and there was a school talent quest, and I started singing a song that hadn't existed yet, but, you know, it was number one 10 years later. If suddenly people go, oh, my gosh, she's amazing.
Well, it's Back to the Future.
It is Back to the Future. I like this premise.
Yeah, and the film looks warm and fuzzy and great, and maybe there'll be some sort of cameo from, I want to say, Paul and Ringo, because, yes, they're the two left.
Yeah, you can't get the others to appear.
No. But James Corden is involved. Oh. He's interviewing this guy when two people from the audience pop up and say, "You didn't write those songs." So
how do they know?
That's the question. That's why I say, are we going to get a cameo from Paul and Ringo?
Oh, please be them. So Richard Curtis wrote it. That's awesome.
And I believe I may be wrong, but check the trailer because there's one shot of some bare feet. Which, you know, conspiracy theories love that. A bit of Abbey Road barefoot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So Paul. I think that's out. Yeah, that's out later this year as well. And that trailer really surprised me with how heartfelt and warm and fuzzy. Yeah.
I wonder if it's the kind of movie where you didn't go and see Bohemian Rhapsody at the movies, but then you check it out later whilst it's streaming somewhere. And then you see the trailer for that and you think, I'm in the mood. Yeah. I've just seen a Queen thing. I'm going to go watch this one.
Yeah.
Bit of Beatles music.
Well, same with Rocket Man, which is the Elton John one coming up later in the year.
That looks all right.
That looks really good. I'm excited for that. I've got a lot of time for Taron Egerton, the guy playing Elton. And it's meant to be like a weird musical, much more than just a biopic.
I'm happy with that. Yeah. Make it weird.
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
So one show that I'm particularly excited for, trailer came out yesterday. It is called Mental Samurai with Rob Lowe.
I don't even know what to think about that.
Rob Lowe hosting a game show. Contestants are all Harvard, MIT and this sort of place. Very, very smart people. They have to answer brain teasers, puzzles, challenges while they're strapped in a giant pneumatic arm. And it's swinging
them. Who
thought
of this?
So it's like they're doing NASA space zero-G training.
Yeah, right.
While they're trying to solve really difficult puzzles.
Whilst Rob Lowe's shouting questions at them.
Uh-huh.
How did that get, like, how not only did someone brainstorm that, but then how did they pitch it to a TV production company and then get Rob Lowe on it?
I think Rob Lowe was involved earlier.
Okay.
I think this is something that is... I watched a featurette and he talks about how he's long been a fan of brain teasers and a game show and wanted to try something different. And there's been
It's very different for him.
But if you have a look at the wider cultural landscape, there's been a big shift of celebrities hosting game shows over the last 2-3 years. So I think there's a little bit of that. Maybe he's friends with The Rock because The Rock keeps pumping them out, once for him and Kevin Hart and all this sort of stuff. So it might be that. But I don't know. I don't know why it exists. I'm just glad it does.
You watch it be a wonderfully entertaining, hilarious show that people get absolutely captivated with.
Gonna,
like once you turn it on, you watch till the end.
It's going to charm my pants off.
Yeah. Yeah, charm. That's it.
Like Rob Lowe, he's so charming.
You think about this man, Rob Lowe. Like he was in the 80s. He was part of what they called the Rat Pack back then with Elmo's Fire, and what a heartthrob he was. And then he, you know, I don't think he ever went away. He just went on to different things and then he appeared in TV shows and he's just been there the whole time. And I think he's a really super nice guy.
I think Parks and Recreation Rob Lowe might be my favorite Rob Lowe because he's so positive in that. Literally the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Literally.
Oh my gosh. Any other trailers?
Not so much a trailer, but Arrested Development Season 5 Part 2 is coming to Netflix in a couple of weeks.
Cool.
You'd think I'd be excited.
Why?
I'm not.
Why? Hang on, why?
I didn't bother with watching the first half of Season 5 because Season 4 was rubbish. They didn't recapture the magic of what it used to be. I'm glad they've had an attempt at doing it. Nice. It didn't work.
It just didn't work.
Just let it go.
This was probably one of the first shows that suddenly got the revamp.
Mm.
We've seen others, and I'm also worried about others getting revamped. Like, you start to hear people talk about things. You start to see actors or people who are involved in old school TV shows suddenly start posting reunion pictures on Instagram or whatever, and you think, hang on a second, are you just doing this because you met up with them? Or are you, and whoever the makers are, gauging people's interest?
Yes.
Because, yeah, you can ride off the cloud of nostalgia for a long time, but, man, ride off the cloud? I think I made a saying up just
That's
then.
That's a bit of a, yeah, it's different.
I didn't. Maybe I was thinking about Monkey Magic's cloud, which got remade.
Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting that there are remakes. Some of them work and some of them you just think, oh.
Yeah, I don't need it. It didn't capture the magic that it used to be. And part of that is because all the people in that show are so big now. Most of them are in films or they're in leading their own TV show that they filmed everyone separate and green screened it together. And it just didn't work. So I don't...
That's disappointing.
It's real disappointing because those first three seasons are classic.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
They are absolutely amazing.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Very briefly, I saw a trailer for a show called The Enemy Within. And it stars, Jennifer Carpenter, I believe her name is, who was the sister on Dexter, the detective on Dexter.
Who ended up in real life marrying Dexter, whose name has escaped me right now.
Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, that's him.
So she is a CIA agent who is basically forced to commit treason by some kidnappers who have her son, and it's, you tell us who's tracing us, or we kill your son right now on camera. And so she has to make that call and gets put in jail, obviously on treason charges. And then it looks like it might be a bit of a Hannibal Lecter situation of her going to help further CIA operatives while still serving. Could be, it has a bit of potential.
I know quite a few people who would give that at least the first episode a go.
Yeah.
It sounds like the kind of show that the first episode's going to be super stressful, bang, 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 they're just going to throw it all at you. Mm-hmm. So you finish that episode and go, where are they going to go from here?
Yes.
Second episode.
I get the sense of that. I also got the sense of that with, we finally saw a trailer for Whiskey Cavalier, which I know I've talked about at length. It looks a lot funnier than I was expecting.
So with the original premise, I think you talked about, ages ago now, to me didn't sound like it was going to be funny.
No, I didn't think so either. But it's Scott Foley as, I think, an FBI agent and Lauren Cohen as, I think, CIA agent.
Mm.
And they're both tracking the same target. She might be like MI6 or something
Oh, so she could be English.
They are competing agencies. They shouldn't be working together. This first episode sees them thrown together, and then this featurette basically showed that the series ongoing is the president forcing them to work together.
Okay. Wacky.
And so, yeah, there's a bit of... It's not a yuck-yuck comedy. Yeah. Like, it's not out-out comedy, but there were some funny elements in there, and it looked lighter.
If this has got legs, which it sounds like it probably does, what does this mean for Lauren's future on The Walking Dead? Are we just is Maggie just going to not be there anymore? Well, I mean,
they haven't spoken about her for a while. She's off doing other things. I think because Whiskey Cavalier, it appears to be it's not a full season. I think it's a 13 episode thing, and I get the sense that they may be dropping a few episodes at a time on the NBC app, NBC or whoever's putting it out on their app, on the ABC app. I sense that it might be even a full season drop, and then they air a couple of episodes at a time. So I don't think it's the sort of full year commitment that a proper network show is. So she may have worked out something in her contract that she can go and film 2 of 16 episodes for Walking Dead a year.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I watched, there was a lot of talk about and excitement about Umbrella Academy, at least here in Australia. You saw the ads on bus stops, didn't you? Buses, like it was everywhere. And I thought, all right, let's give it a go. Huh? I really like it.
Good, I watched all of it.
I am 3 episodes in. I only started it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
That's top of my things you must watch list.
This is... so fun.
In the same way that Deadpool and Logan, when people walked out from that, they had a feeling. That's what I feel like with this, because it's helping, it's educating mainstream viewers why adults still read comic books. Because you can do stuff in a comic book that doesn't work elsewhere. And they've had to change elements and stuff for the show.
Mm.
But you've got your Pogo, the talking monkey butler.
That was actually a comment that I saw. Someone said, people were talking about how good it was. And they said, is it good? Because I saw a talking monkey and thought maybe I should opt out of it. And other people were saying, no, you got to give this a go.
So Pogo is done by Weta, film studio. The guys that do the visual effects for Planet of the Apes.
That makes sense.
Yes.
It's very Planet of the Apes-y.
They got him on board. And there's people in there that, Tom Hopper, who plays Space Boy number one, the real big guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was on Game of Thrones as Deacon.
Took me ages to figure out who he was.
Mm-hmm.
I know this guy. Where's he from?
Yep.
Where's he from? It's not quite right. Obviously, he...
Bulked out somewhat.
But also, I knew there was something different. It was the accent that was throwing me.
Yes. But so you've got him, Ellen Page, obviously, from Juno and whatnot.
And being Ellen Page. Gaycation, she has done for quite a bit.
Robert Sheehan, who plays number 4, Klaus.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
He is great. He spent a few years on Misfits.
He has to be having a lot of fun doing that character.
Well, he is who you call if you want an impish rogue. Because he's Irish and he is just the impish rogue stereotype personified. He's perfect.
Yeah, he really is.
So I'm dancing delicately because if you're at episode 3, have you learned what everyone's power is yet?
I think so. No, obviously not. I know the main people's powers.
Yeah, the 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the 5, really.
Well, I also... We do have to tread carefully because potentially there are people who haven't watched it yet.
I'm dancing very delicately. So for those of you who don't know anything what we're talking about, I have mentioned in the past this is the show that's based on a comic from the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
You were very keen to watch for this to be out released.
Yeah. Because it's a comic with a lot of rock star cred on it. And I know that sounds silly, but it got a lot of attention. And, you know, they sold it in Hot Topic in the States and this sort of stuff. And it crossed over to the mainstream. But it's not so much an adult or a deconstructionist or whatever take, but it's what if the X-Men were real, but having a superpower sucked?
It has consequences.
Yeah, I mean, everyone always looks at superheroes and it's hard to feel bad for Spider-Man. You know, he's struggling to pay rent and he's got struggles in his life and stuff, but he's got an amazing power. Superman is just aspirational goal. You can't... These guys, their powers suck.
Yeah.
And they make the best of a bad situation. Yeah. But, I mean, you look at poor Klaus.
Mm.
That ain't fun.
You don't. Yeah. So Klaus.
We can. I think we can talk a bit about.
Yeah. So he has got a drug problem, and it looks like he has for many years in and out of rehab and whatnot. And basically, he is using drugs to quieten the voices in his head, who are people who have passed away.
Yes, he is constantly in communication with
constantly.
The dead. He
can't shut it out unless he takes drugs.
Yes.
So his life's a mess.
That's right. He can't turn it on and off. It's not a control situation. They're just always there.
Mm.
And he's terrified of it, so he has to drown that out.
Mm. It's interesting. What I like in the lead up, at least the first three episodes, is they just give you enough that as an adult, I'm interested in the story and the story arc. They're giving you like that dangling carrot, but not in an annoying way. It's a little bit where you think, oh, okay, well, now that I know about him, what does that mean for this other one?
Correct.
And I really like the way they do that. And for people who are potentially thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm really into comic book adaptations, I suspect this one will be good for you to give a go on. And particularly if you have a young adult, I'm talking, you know, between the age of maybe 12 and, you know, 18, watch it with them. I think you'll both get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
And you'll get a lot out of it watching it together.
Completely agree.
Mm.
If it helps sell it to anyone who might be a little bit hobnobby about a comic book thing, this is from the same people that make Fargo and same executive producer as Alton Carbon. For Netflix. So it's got a huge pedigree of people that make fine television.
Yeah.
And this is not a superhero show. This is a dysfunctional family messed up by some powers.
Mm.
And so if you look at it that way, it's a fantastic, you know, character breakdown and an emotional journey to the end. I watched all of it in less than 24 hours.
Holy cow.
You
well
know
done.
That's not my game.
No, you like to savour it.
Uh-huh. It was
you couldn't.
So good.
Well, I'm going to savour it for the rest of the week, probably watch one at night.
Mm.
Really enjoying it. Mm. What else did you watch?
Before we move on,
yeah,
I have to say, how amazing is number 5?
Amazing.
Do you know what's even more amazing?
What?
That kid that plays him is from a Nickelodeon show called Nicky, Ricky, Dicky and Dawn, about four quadruplets.
Hang on, so he plays all four of them?
No, he plays one of them.
Uh-huh.
They're not identical.
Okay.
But he's been on a Nickelodeon show, and that's about it, for a couple of years. And
he's
very good. Where he was playing like a nerdy, awkward kid, he is a revelation.
Do you know what his acting style reminds me of, particularly in this role? Jodie Foster and Bugsy Malone.
Sure.
Like where she is clearly a kid but is able to bring so much to the acting character. She seems older than she is.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
I'm not saying he gets any older and stuff, but you see that weariness continue through the season, and he somehow infuses the character with more of a hunch as it goes on, and as things grow worse, he becomes more and more world weary.
The start of a great career, I suspect.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Next show.
I watched a movie that I know I've mentioned a few times, but I've been looking forward to an awful lot. It was wonderful. It was joyful. It's called Anna and the Apocalypse. It's a Scottish high school musical at Christmas while the world ends because of zombies.
Why is there not more of these sorts of shows or movies? Because this is the stuff that we would love.
Yeah. Well,
and it was good. It was everything you thought it was going to be.
It was great fun.
Uh-huh.
It's not the best film ever. It's made in rural Scotland and not big budget and stuff, but what they had, and they really wrung the best out of.
Mm.
The songs are really catchy. It has the school principal, who of course is angry about the world ending, is played by Thoros of Myr from Game of Thrones.
Mm.
You know, who kept bringing Bodrick. What's his name?
The guy that keeps bringing the other bloke back to life.
Exactly. The dude with the flaming sword.
Yeah.
When they had that big showdown above the wall, beyond the wall, he plays the principal who gets progressively worse and worse. His name is Peter Kay, and English listeners, you might know him better as Dennis Pennis.
A good name.
Comedic character from the 90s who was anarchic and punk.
Okay.
And he channels that punkness into this.
Into the anger of the principal.
Well, there's just big rousing musical songs all throughout. They're very 80s. It feels very John Hughes.
I suspect in a way to sell this, for it to be made, that sounds like a really nice little angle to take it to.
The way I think it was sold is a John Hughes production of a current Disney teen, like Disney Channel teen film with the singing and musical with awful horror. So people are being ripped apart and this sort of stuff, and you do see that. It's very Shaun of the Dead.
Uh-huh.
There is a scene involving headphones singing and dancing while wanton destruction takes place behind obliviously. That is great. And a very different version of where Shaun of the Dead is just he's hungover and focused on getting his cornetto.
Yeah.
This is much more they're singing and dancing about how life doesn't have a happy ending and kicking things around while just the world falls apart.
It sounds fun. What's it called again?
Anna and the Apocalypse. And so that was up iTunes. I don't think that got a proper release here in Australia. It was only a very short window of release in the States.
Until you mentioned it then, I'd never heard of it.
I thought it was just wonderful.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It was a toss-up as to what I was going to check out because I'd had a few little suggestions, and I ended up with the Ted Bundy doco on Netflix because I realised that I didn't know anything about him except for the fact that he is a serial killer from the US.
Charming.
Very charming bloke. Mm-hmm. So I've only watched one episode because I wasn't really feeling it because I actually had to stop Umbrella Academy to watch it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I was not in the right headspace for it. But I can see how these shows need a whole new doco, a whole new series about it because people around our age have listened to crime podcasts and they're heavily into that, and that's how that they discover all these stories. Like myself, they've heard of Ted Bundy, but they don't know too much about him. And I think that maybe if you were to watch it instead of just listening to it, you get more out of it.
Sure.
I think that's why Netflix grabs these things.
Yeah.
It's just I know that a lot of people's podcast lists contain at least one, you know, true crime podcast in there. People love them.
Not me.
No, I know, not you. Not me either. I dip in and out. Someone will say, oh, there was a really good podcast about this murder.
Yeah.
And they've just solved it recently. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to those two parts. But sometimes I find them quite drawn out. I just want to know the end. So I'm usually on Google, on the Wikipedia page, finding out what happened in the end before the end of it.
That's just it. I just always look at the crib notes of this stuff and go, oh, okay, he did
it. That was him.
Yep.
It was Ted Bundy.
So I appreciate that other people are really into it, and it's a wonderful form. And as you say, I think the Netflix version of it is huge.
It looks really good.
Well, that it's taking these serialized podcasts and giving them a much wider audience.
Yeah, and with vision, you know, with vision and audio. And what will keep me watching is I've heard that he was so charming that he almost charmed the judge. So I want to find out how that, and you would have to watch all of it to understand that. So Ted Bundy doco on Netflix. If you love true crime, if you love docos, give it a go.
Nice.
They're the ones who knock. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
All right.
I've got one last thing I watched that I'll talk about.
Lovely. Then we'll do the quiz.
Miracle Workers started.
Ah.
Yes. Now, if you've got US iTunes, I haven't checked Australian iTunes, but if you check US iTunes, they have the premiere episode up for free at the moment.
Ooh.
Yes. This is the show with Steve Buscemi as God, Daniel Radcliffe as, I thought he was an angel. He kind of is an angel, but he's like the only person working in the prayers answered department of God's corporation.
That's amazing.
So he gets 2 billion requests dumped on him every day, and he tries to get about 4. And the rules of things is he can't physically interact or change things because it changes.
Like a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's really proud. He's really good at finding keys or lost gloves or just really simple stuff that makes someone do a little dance in happiness. That's his thrill. And it's about God decides that he messed up and he wants to go and do what his real passion was opening a pancake-esque restaurant. I can't say pancakes. Okay. It's more like void pancakes things. Not the same as Good Place.
You saw my face. Yes. Yeah, I was immediately thinking that too.
So he decides he's going to blow up Earth. And
okay, not a good – I'm not on board with this plan.
No. And then there's a young woman. Well, she looks young. She's millennia old and she's been working in dirt.
Mm.
Her job in the office, God's office, has been dirt production.
Okay.
So she's been making dirt for millions of years and she's now
gotten
this
is great. This sounds really good.
She's now gotten a promotion to work with Daniel Radcliffe in Prayers Answered, so they're aiming for 7 prayers answered a day.
I love love this. This is sounding as good as I thought it was going to.
Everything I've told you is the first 3 minutes.
Oh,
I don't
gosh.
Want to tell you anything further than that because it gets sillier and funny. Steve Buscemi is clearly having the time of his life. He makes one joke which feels ad-libbed that made me laugh harder than anything else this week.
Perfect.
And it's the most throwaway thing. People, if you've watched, I'm sure you'll see it. Again, I've talked about it before. Simon Rich is the showrunner on this, and he's the guy that did Man Seeking Woman, which was three very weird series from him and Jay Baruchel. He does really out there, just gives into flights of fancy.
Yeah, go for that. Go the random. That's what I like.
Just like tiny little Monty Python style interstitials between things and having something seem very serious and real, but then just a moment of fancy. Mm. Oh, it's great.
Well, I know that in Australia it's coming out on Stan if it's not already out at the moment. So if you have Stan, have a watch and let us know, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com, what you thought.
I believe it's 6 episodes all up, one and done. That's it.
Damn.
So either they save the world or they don't.
We'll soon find out.
Yes.
All right. Now, we reckon that's probably enough watching, but we will be talking about The Walking Dead at the end.
Yes.
After the spoiler section. But first, it's quiz time. We were talking about how lightsaber duels are now an official competitive sport in France. So I've come up with the quiz. Is it sport or is it made up? Got 6 of them.
Okay.
Here we go. Pencil sharpie.
I don't even know real sports.
This is not real.
Okay, so competitive pencil sharpening.
Yeah. Is it real or is it fake?
Fake.
Well, it does seem to be that schools and a few YouTube channels have partaken in this. It's not a fully fledged sport.
It's not recognised
yet? No, not yet. What about pillow fighting?
Oh, that's legit.
Yeah, there's an actual pillow fight league in Toronto. It's a women's league. And also Japan are bang up for it as well. They love a good pillow fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I've watched a movie about pillow fighting.
Have you really?
Yeah, it was an adult movie.
Because as soon as you started saying that, I started to think about that movie with, what's it called, Roller Derby?
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore and Ellen Page was in it, I think, wasn't she? I can't remember what it was called. Good movie. I did enjoy it. I just can't remember what it was
called. Yeah, I can't remember either. Hamar Superstar, isn't it? That's all I know. Dude with the porno moustache. He's great.
Remember that. What about extreme ironing, as in...
Legit.
Yeah, extreme ironing.
I've seen it.
Also called EI.
From EI these words.
So they basically just iron items of clothing in bizarre places that look super dangerous.
Sure.
I mean, ironing's dangerous in itself, right? You got the iron. Ridiculous.
But you can make a lot of iron wall, iron curtain.
Iron thrones.
Yeah, all sorts of puntastic goodness. All right.
Box assembling.
No.
Mm-mm. I did some research too.
Yeah.
I'm like, have I made something up or have I made something up that already exists? It doesn't exist yet.
Because that feels like something you should, like, right now ring IKEA
really
and go, guys, I've had an idea.
Can you be a sponsor?
No.
The sponsor.
Why don't you just give them that idea? And they could have, like, a throwdown Thunderdome inside an IKEA section where people competitively build boxes and get rewarded with meatballs.
This is too good.
Yeah.
We need to practice because I want to eat those meatballs.
Oh. Can you say that sentence again?
We need to practice because I want to eat those meatballs.
And I'm pulling that sample out.
I'll send it to you, don't you worry.
Yeah, we can have a button for the meatballs. I want to eat those meatballs.
I dare you to make a song about it.
No, not right now.
Okay.
There'll be a time.
Shin kicking.
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Shin kicking, also known as hacking or purring for some reason, is a combat sport that involves two contestants attempting to kick each other in the shin. The interesting part of this is it's described, this is on the Wikipedia page, as an English martial art and originated in the 17th century. I could totally win one of those. Just wear some shin pads.
Sure. Do you think you'd be allowed to? Right? There'd be some sort of protection in there.
You could wear those soccer shin pads, which don't look very protective.
Yeah.
What about cricket pads?
Maybe you tape them up.
Oh, yeah.
Get a bit of bandage going.
just, yeah, good idea.
Like that. Finally, wife carrying.
Oh, that's got to be a thing.
It is a thing. It's really famous.
Is it an Australian thing?
No, you'd think that, right? Yeah. It's from Finland. So it's a Scandinavian thing. Okay. So, you know, as
I'm going
much
to chase,
sense.
Chase cheese while carrying my wife.
Well, yeah, there's the cheese rolling competition. Cheese, you chase the wheel of cheese down a hill in England, and people keep getting injured because they have to chase it and then they fall down the hill and hurt themselves.
That's great.
And there was a time where they wanted to try and stop it, but then people were saying, think the organisers are like, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, you
it's
can't.
It's not a surprise. It's been around for hundreds of years. I've probably made up the hundreds of years bit.
No, I think it is ancient.
It's old.
It's
yeah.
old. No, it's not some recent thing. Some dude hasn't gone, hey, guys, I made this giant thing of cheese. Do you all trust me enough to roll down a hill chasing it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I think that's got to be a tradition.
Wife carrying, though. I'm pretty sure an Australian couple have won.
Yeah,
once.
That sounds like something.
An air guitar, I think, comes from Finland or at least a Scandinavian country as well. They've got long winters, right? They've got to keep yourselves entertained somehow. All right, we are getting into the spoiler section for The Walking Dead.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
This episode I liked a little bit more than last week. Last week I was a bit,
Yeah.
This week I think I like the origin, the flashbacks, but I didn't get enough.
How long did it until you clued in that we were dealing with an unreliable narrator situation?
Oh, I suspected that last week.
Oh, but what I mean is when she was telling what had happened in the past.
Oh, right.
Was it him suddenly having a beard back? Was it the dad, not, like his...
Oh, that's
appearing
right.
And
that happened. I forgot about that.
I got really thrown. And until
her hair, what's her name? The mother. Her hair Alpha. Went missing. Alpha's hair went missing without any context.
Yep.
Therefore, now that I think about it, that's the shaving of the beard. It was actually shaving of the head.
Yep. So, I don't know. I got thrown for the first maybe 15 minutes because it didn't seem to click together. And then I was like, I see what they're doing here. Okay, let's just ride this out and see what happens. So some of what she's told is a lie. Because don't trust her.
Mm-mm.
But in the comics, even when you think you can trust her, you still can't, like, she's been around for a couple of years. It's still like,
You still don't trust her?
Not completely.
Do you trust Negan more than her in the comics?
Yes, at this point, but only at this point.
Mm.
But Lydia's done a lot to redeem herself. It's more the fact that she's Daryl. She's a broken feral animal that Carl tries to tame.
Mm.
And he's done a much better job in the comic than I would have expected. She's the chick that's really into Carl's eye socket. She's the socket licker.
Yes, you've been speaking about this lady for quite a while.
I know, and we're never going to get that moment on the show now because she's paired up with dumb old Henry.
Yeah, unless Henry loses an eye just for that scene, I wouldn't put it past them. So in terms of Alpha and what we know about her so far,
I think we know more about her on the show than we ever learned in the comic.
That's what I was interested in finding out about. So there was no real back, extensive back history. It's just that she was the leader of the Whisperers.
Yeah, and that she was broken in the past by her past. And, you know, bits and pieces have been referenced, but not visualized. So we couldn't trust it as more because it was all coming from Lydia. Mm. I think she's horribly messed up. I think it's kind of cool that we're seeing that she was messed up all along. This is a good way to set her up.
Mm.
And it's a different take because in the comic she's just a force of nature. And there's not too many periods where you would get her walking up to a gate and willing to talk. It's more like she'd walk up in the middle of a swarm and knock. Like that sort of awful thing.
What I find interesting about that was... As someone who hasn't read the comic books, has only seen her for this one episode, pretty much, is that even when they walked up and she walked up and she said, I want my daughter, that shocked me. I was like, I did not expect that. You guys are whisperers. Why are you being so outright? And it also made me wonder, are they both on the same page? Are mother and daughter both on the same page with this? In that, you know, Lydia's telling, you know, half... truths and half lies. Is Alpha really there to get her daughter or is something else happening? You know what I mean? I don't trust them.
No comment.
Okay, cool. Okay, cool. So I'm right to have those thoughts in my mind.
Wonder.
Okay.
And it goes both ways. Of, as you're saying, you don't know if you can fully trust Lydia, but at the same time, there's some cracks that have clearly been put in her facade. Hearing that baby cry and this stuff is clearly making her question her worldview. Yes.
I'm also wondering about Alpha and the TV show, if now we've gotten more about her than we would have in the comics. Mm. Because as I was watching the flashbacks, I was thinking to myself, this is what I like. This is what I like about these programs like The Walking Dead, where you get to see a person at that point in their lives where they've gone so far away from what they would have been before the outbreak. I want to know why. I want to see the evolution. I think that's what is missing a little bit with Negan. You didn't get much evolution, so why did suddenly he need all the wives? You know, that sort of thing.
We've gotten more backstory on Alpha than we ever did on Negan. I think that's an intentional thing of why they're pushing Alpha's backstory, is so that we get some context for the change. That's, you know, it's seeing that difference. You know, that's why Carol is such a strong character, because we remember what she was like as the quiet, meek, abused woman at the beginning to where she is now. I think that's why Fear the Walking Dead works well. I do feel like Alpha is the continuation of what Madison's story could have been if she'd kept going down that hard road, everyone else is an enemy.
I agree.
And this sort of stuff.
And I think they may have been subtly, at least for the comic book readers, subtly referencing that with the stadium full of walkers.
Agreed.
In Fear the Walking Dead, because they would have gotten that reference.
Very much so. I think so.
Oh, wouldn't it be great? I know that they couldn't have done it, but it would have been great if it was Madison, and I know that there were rumours that that could have been a thing, but it's not. Because I can see Alicia being, and at least for me right now, I can see that mother and daughter duo being this mother and daughter duo.
Yeah,
I'm sure that there are changes, there are differences, but at the moment, as someone who's only watching, not reading, it looks very similar.
And you have to remember that there was that group on Fear the Walking Dead last season who used the young girl to go in the stadium, learn secrets, come back out and tell. So you have to wonder whether Walking Dead is going to go down the exact same path or whether there's going to be some sort of split.
Kind of hope a split, simply because you can't have the same thing on both versions of your show.
No, I'm very subtly trying to...
Okay. All right. We'll
say,
pick up on it.
Keep watching.
Okay. We'll keep watching. Anything else about the episode? Oh, there was one thing, and you were referencing Carol and the evolution of her throughout the series. I did like the little thing that Henry said about his mum, who used to keep her hair short so the husband who was abusive wouldn't grab her by the hair. And then when she realised she was safe, she grew it out, because I was not that keen on Carol's long hair wig. And now that there's a reason behind it, I feel a little happier.
One sentence made it click.
Yeah.
Made you understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they it's very rare that Walking Dead decides to focus on one theme for an episode, and this was the theme of childhood abuse and the ramifications of that. And that's a really heavy subject, and it handled it pretty well.
Mm. You know? Much better than last week.
And, I mean, is Daryl growing a character?
Well, he has to, because he has to be... Well, he doesn't have to be Rick, but there's no Rick.
Okay, there's no Rick. Let's be honest, there's no Michonne. We haven't seen her in 2 weeks.
No.
This half of the season.
Yeah.
Maggie's gone. Jesus is gone. Like,
Tara's hanging out. I don't even think we saw Aaron this episode.
I don't think so. But, yeah, I think Daryl needs to get a bit more than...
He's still doing the voice, though.
He is. There's just been these very subtle clues throughout the seasons. You know, there was the time when he and Carol were off on a mission and he picked up a book about survivors of abuse. And
didn't even see it. I didn't pick up on that.
I think it was season, I want to say, 5, when they were going to rescue Beth.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Man. That's a while back.
Yeah, that's a lifetime ago.
Yeah, from that crazy hospital.
Yeah.
And they got the boy from Everyone Hates Chris.
Yeah, the Chris Rock show.
Yeah. The kid that gets ripped apart horribly in the revolving door that means I now don't walk through revolving doors.
Okay.
I don't.
Not a huge problem here in Australia, but in the US, particularly New York, they're bang up for a revolving door.
Don't do it. I don't. I'd always been bothered by them with the thought of getting stuck or getting caught in it, but then watching...
Do you know what they remind me of? The lead-up reminds me of getting into a skipping rope, a jumping rope.
Sure. That never panned out well for me.
No, you've got to get ready for it. And particularly if you're arriving through those revolving doors with bags, you know, like at a hotel, that's even harder. Oh, don't. Yeah.
No.
Can we just not have them?
Also, can I just say one person per segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're someone I know and you get in the segment with me, that's a bit weird. If you're someone I don't know and you get in my segment,
you need to go away.
Oh, my God.
I'm not dealing with you. Yeah, now you've made me angry again, and I've remembered why I was angry in the first place, because the stupid... Who put your... Stop putting your rubbish bag in my bottle bin after it's been collected. I'm sorry, I've harped back to that. Would that be a problem in The Walking Dead? Probably not.
Oh, waste management would be an issue. You don't want to keep piling things up.
That's a good point.
Otherwise, you end up like Bloody Janice.
Oh, I can't be dealing with it.
So much rubbish. Talking shit, dancing around in your community theatre underpants.
Yes. And your art teacher fringe. Yeah. You know, it's too high up. Yeah.
Don't like it.
We'll be seeing her again in the movie.
I reckon so.
With Rick?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Mm. Mm. I think we've well and truly talked about all the things that need to be talked about this week. So if you have any ideas, suggestions, as in watching suggestions, quiz ideas.
Yes.
Or just some questions, you can send us an email at thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Until then, Tom.
Put your right hand up, every listener, and here comes an audio high five.
We need to practice because I want to eat those meatballs.